Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning praying that you will bless us with insight and power to believe and understand what your life on earth was really for and what the comfort in it is for us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. The text for this morning's meditation is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Our text reads, "Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. For surely it is not with angels that he is concerned, but with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make expiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is our text. During these weeks of the Passion season, it seems obvious that we should be contemplating the suffering and death of our Lord. Certainly, this is the time to devote ourselves to a meditation on the suffering and death of Christ for us. But it frequently happens that in the midst of all our meditation and consideration of the Passion story, we let the morbid facts of the story dwell on us so strongly that we miss the gospel message that is there. Overlooking the life of Christ for us short-circuits the full gospel, which is clearly in that Passion narrative. For this reason, therefore, our meditation this morning is going to focus on the life of Christ and how his life is actually connected with the Passion story as well. First, we'll consider how the life of Christ on earth is a part of his obedience for us, and then how his place in heaven today is also for us. Before Jesus died for us, he lived for us. This aspect of our Lord's atoning work for us is well known as the active obedience of Christ. But perhaps we're too quick to distinguish clearly between the life of Christ and the Passion of Christ. No one took his life away. He gave it freely. The entire story of Christ is the story of his active love and obedience for us. St. Paul writes in the fourth chapter of his epistle to the Galatians, "But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." These verses put our text into a good context because they show us both the divine and the human aspect of Christ's work. First, we are reminded that the work of Christ is God's idea, not ours. Secondly, we are reminded that the work of redemption took place so that Christ might buy our freedom for us, to redeem us from the power of sin and the devil. And finally, Paul tells us that the purpose of life and the work of Christ was to redeem man and creation from the grip of sin. Every act of Jesus on earth was oriented towards that goal of salvation. His birth, baptism, temptation, ministry, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension are all acts by which God shows us that he means business. God got his hands and feet dirty for us, and he went to the bitter end for us. That we might spend eternity with God, Jesus came and fulfilled all righteousness for us. He kept God's law perfectly for us. Christ committed no sins, for we have committed all sins in our hearts and our lives, And Christ omitted no part of God's will, because we have frequently failed God's will. The purpose of the Lenten season is to prepare us spiritually for the observance of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. We do well to contemplate the spiritual darkness which shrouds our souls and the light which Christ brought to us. Unfortunately, we might find ourselves obsessed with the evil and morbid aspects of Christ's death on the cross. And this may be at the expense of our full appreciation of the clear gospel message which the Passion story gives us. It is very easy to be misled in our understanding of Christ's human nature. Satan would have us be misled into concentrating too much on the pathos of the Passion and not the power of the Passion. It's easy to let human feelings of sympathy get in the way of our appreciation of what God is really doing for us in the suffering and death of Christ. We hate to think of Jesus racked with pain, and so we mistakenly say with Peter, "God forbid, Lord, let this not happen to you." Satan wants us to feel sorry for Jesus. Satan knows that without the cross, we have no king of righteousness. Pleasant or not, it was necessary that God should bruise his son for the world. The Passion of our Lord was only part of the whole active life of obedience which Christ lived for us. All that Jesus did, he did freely in love for our salvation. But our text doesn't let the story stop there. Christ not only broke the power of the devil to hold us in the fear of sin and death, Christ also came to help us now in our lives today. Our Lord lives to assist us in every aspect of our lives. Verse 18 reads, "For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Here is good news for us. The good news is that the same Christ who devoted his life to earning our salvation is also assisting us this very day. This high priest not only gained access to heaven for us, he is a high priest perfectly acquainted with our problems and able to help us. As the high priest who offered himself up as the sacrifice for our sins, Christ has opened the gates of heaven to us. Without the perfect life and atoning death and resurrection of Christ, God's ear would be stone deaf to us. In this season of meditation and repentance, we must know that God hears us for Christ's sake. We must know that without the sacrifice of Christ, only despair would be our lot. Knowing that Christ stands before God in heaven today gives us the confidence we need to go about our lives. God has accepted Christ's sacrifice on our behalf and counts us worthy. But again, the life of Christ is not something which happened way back then and has no significance today. It's a present reality. Christ ascended bodily into the heavens to continue his work as our high priest by the side of God. He ascended expressly for the purpose that he might be of assistance to us, to help us in our spiritual struggle and in our physical needs. Jesus is no stranger to human needs. He felt them also. Our text reminds us that Jesus can help us because he suffered and was tempted. Christ is no inhuman principle or cosmic watchmaker. Christ was here. Christ knows what it's like. Christ knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows what it's like to get a bad shake and life. He knows what it means to die painfully. It's a great comfort to us to know that Jesus lived for us, and it's an even greater comfort to know that his life was perfect. His life was untainted by sin. Jesus was not in the power of the devil, and so his life is of a special importance for us in our spiritual lives. The difference between the perfect life of Jesus and our sinful lives lies in the fact that Jesus is also God. We may find comfort and strength in the knowledge that Jesus is human, but we may find equal comfort in knowing that Jesus is Almighty God. For this reason, the divinity of Christ enabled him to live that perfect life for us, and it's also the reason why he is able to stand before God and be our defense and our advocate with the Father. When we speak to Christ in prayer, we know he will respond to us in the Word and in the sacrament, and we know that we will receive the spiritual strength and physical strength we need. We know that God cares about us. He sent Jesus. We know that Jesus wasn't satisfied to spend his life on earth for us. He spends his life in heaven for us also. Christ is on call for us right now. And so as we continue in this Lenten season, let us remember that by his active life, death, and resurrection, Christ has shown his love for us. May our love and faith be strengthened in the knowledge of Jesus our Savior today and in the days to come. Amen.